The Table 40 podcast with Matt and Leslie Holiday is presented by Sports Spectrum and the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more shows and stories on the intersection of sports and faith, check out sportsspectrum.com.
Welcome back to the Table 40 podcast with Matt and Leslie Holiday on the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. I am Cole Claiborne with Sports Spectrum. So happy you joined us this week. A new season of Table 40 episodes is just around the corner with Matt and Leslie. In the meantime, we are still revisiting some previous conversations, and I'm really, really excited about this week's. Before we get started, though, I do want to invite you to check out our website, sportsspectrum.com. While there, you can subscribe to our magazine, and this new magazine that we have coming out this spring is going to feature Adam and Jenny Wainwright on the cover. Obviously, great St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Adam Wainwright, former teammate of Matt's in St. Louis, and there's just a lot of great content and stories in this magazine. So head over to sportsspectrum.com, find the magazine link on the tab, and you can subscribe to our magazine for just $18 for 1 year, or you can lock in 2 years for $30. You'll get this story on Adam and Jenny Wainwright and much, much more content at the intersection of sports and faith. But this week on Table 40, we're going to be revisiting a conversation with another one of Matt's former teammates, Chris Carpenter, one of the fiercest competitors of his day, and his testimony and how he came to faith in Jesus is remarkable, and it actually involves Adam Wainwright. So hopefully you will enjoy this conversation with former St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Chris Carpenter.
You know, when you talk about injuries, when you talk about talking to a young athlete who's going through adversity or just kind of a young athlete about mental toughness, like what would you say you learned, and what was the key to overcoming injury, bad performance, just kind of going from trying to figure out how to be a major league player to winning a Cy Young? What do you think the biggest, I guess, learning keys were?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one for me, I think, was I couldn't sit in it. And I think that's anything in life. You know, you're going to face adversity, and anything that you do, no matter if you're a parent, a husband, a wife, a father, a son, whatever it is, or as a player. And when my first major surgery was my shoulder surgery before I came over to the Cardinals. And that's where I really, like I said, started learning. I was opening day starter at Fenway Park, the place that I went to as a child watching guys play, the Red Sox play against Pedro Martinez. I had 35 people there watching me pitch. It was my first opening day. I was making a few million dollars, and back then that was a lot of money for us. And I went from pitching opening day against Pedro to, by September, I was released and had shoulder surgery with my first son on the way, like all kinds of life-changing things. And I took a lot of things for granted. And when baseball got taken from me with that surgery, I was like, man, I don't know if I'll ever get this job back again. My priorities changed. And it wasn't, I realized that baseball wasn't the most important thing. Now it was my family and my soon-to-be son. And allow my athletic ability to take over. I stopped worrying about all the big things, the money and all that other stuff that comes along with it. I just wanted to go play and enjoy what I was doing. But what I learned from that surgery was, you know, I could sit in that surgery and sit in that situation and be the woe is me, be sad, get depressed, do all those things. Or I could get better. And I chose to get better. I gave myself an opportunity to sit and be sad and pout, but after that I needed to get better. And I found every way I could to get better physically, mentally, each and every time I ended up having surgery, that's what I did. And that's what I continue to reiterate to young kids today is, you can sit in it, give yourself an opportunity, but you either can choose to get better or you can choose to sit in it and wallow in it. Yeah, you have one or the other, and I would recommend choosing to get better.
That's good, Chris. Okay, so we met you when you were in that state, like the choosing to get better, Chris. That's when the holidays entered the picture, and that's when our relationship existed in that time frame. And so one thing I remembered about you and the one thing I thought, oh, Matt and him are going to be great friends, is that your work ethic and the way that you trained, you took that very seriously. So if you were to talk to a younger athlete, talk about some of the practical things that you did as a pitcher and some of the training things that you did that you recommend.
Yeah, I was always open to change. I think that was a big thing, and that is I always wanted to learn and learn new things. So I wasn't always stuck on, like, I could only work out one certain way, or I could only run this, or I could only do this. I was always willing to learn, no matter if it was from somebody that was older than me or somebody that was younger than me. I was always trying to figure out a new way to get better. And so I went through multiple different workout programs, throwing programs, and all those things to try to find ways that work for me. And ultimately, you use it all, and you put it all together to try to find out what's best for you. And I did that. Sometimes it's a little later than you wished, but I think as any athlete, you're always striving to find the new thing that might make you a little stronger or might make you a little faster. And I always tried to do that. One thing, though, I always stuck with was I was a runner. I didn't like it, but I always ran long distance the day after I pitched. And a lot of people along the way told me that it probably wasn't good for me because it beats up your knees and your back and all those other things. But physically, mentally, it allowed me to go and clear my head, no matter if it was good or bad to start before the night before. It allowed me to just go get clean and clear and clear my mind and start over again. So that was something that I always stuck with. And I always wanted to do, or always did, was I always was a runner, and I really enjoyed that. People don't do it as much as anymore, but I think mentally it was better than it was for me physically.
Do you still run?
I do.
Same.
And when I stay consistent doing it, I'm telling you, I always feel better. It doesn't matter if I'm running a mile and a half or 5 miles. When I stay consistent, you always, my mind feels better. I'm a good thinker. I wrote my wedding vows running.
I know. I'm the same. I love it. But what shoes do you wear? Matt may want to know.
No, I don't care.
I just started using those On Cloud running shoes.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
They're super nice. Yeah, I saw a pair on. I was like, I'm going to try these.
Yeah, so. I was wearing Hokas for a while, but I got Hoka shamed, and so I'm back to the Nikes. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I love to run as well. I think that's great.
Okay, let's fast forward a little bit. You had an amazing career, accomplished pretty much anything a player could want to accomplish. So you have thoracic outlet, and pretty much you couldn't feel the ball anymore. Is that right? So you know that the end is near when you can't command the ball because you don't have the feeling in your fingertips. And I guess people listening to this may not know what thoracic outlet is, but basically your rib was in the way, right? Or you can probably explain a lot better than I can. So, but just talk about kind of the end of your career and figuring out, okay, so I've got this thoracic outlet, no feeling in my fingers, and how the emotions of knowing that you're kind of winding down and that you can't do what you want to do.
Yeah. So it happened fast. You know, 2011 was just an amazing year, as you know, and I was able to pitch a lot and do a lot, and we win the World Series, and I get ready for spring training the next year, and I go out and I'm starting to throw, and all of a sudden, I can't feel the ball, I can't feel my arm, I can't feel my hand, it turned into just the mental grind that I've been going through over the years of injury, got to the point where I really struggled dealing with it. And you know, at 38 years old, at some point in time, right, it's going to end. But man, did it happen fast. You just come off that big high the year before to, oh my word, what is going on? And then, again, it starts getting taken from you. I wasn't prepared for it. Some people are. I wasn't prepared for it. You know, I think I've shared with you guys before. They teach you in our game, you know, to prepare yourself financially and all those other things for the end of your career, so that, because you have so much time. But I wasn't prepared for not doing what I have been doing for the last 22 years. You know, I mean, I was a professional player for 20 years since the time I was 18 years old. And that was my life. I knew where I was going to be every single year. I knew where, you know, even the year before that, by All-Star break, right? They come out with the schedule of spring training and all those other things. Everything's planned for you. And happened fast, and I struggled with it. But again, you deal with it, and you try to move forward with it. And unfortunately, I couldn't get back from that thoracic outlet syndrome that I had. And I ended up calling it quits in 2013, but it definitely was, again, an interesting but struggle for me.
All right, Chris. So we know part of your story is your faith became real important to you after you quit playing. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So talk to us about that. Talk to us about what that looked like for you when you started to become a follower of Christ.
Well, I grew up in a Christian home, grew up going to church, and then became, like I said, it, you know, from high school on, turning into a professional baseball player, and I lost my way, I guess is the easiest way to explain it. As you start moving forward and those things, you know, the money and the fame and the other stuff starts coming, I just lost kind of who I was and where I was going. But as I started moving towards that at the end of my career, like we were just talking about, I mean, it was just an emotional downfall. I don't know. I mean, just like a, you know, like I was just falling in a hole. And I had multiple people around me. And again, I've shared this with you guys before, but I've had multiple people around me that continued to remind me, as, and you guys were one of them, that there was something better than just baseball, than what was really going on in my life. There was something better out there. And I always wondered what it was. I would see you, or I'd see Wayno or Lance Berkman, or these people that were put into my life. And I was like, man, they've got something different than what I have. And I want that. And ultimately, the Wayno, who was pouring into me consistently, invited me down to his golf tournament down in Georgia, and had an amazing time down there. And I got myself into some situations that I shouldn't have been in. And I literally asked the Lord to save me in that moment, and asked him if, you know, just if he came and helped me and started to guide me, I would listen, I would change my life, and I would give everything I had towards him. And that's where it started. It's been going ongoing since then. That was what, 2013, I think, the winter of 2013. It's a continuing journey that I've really enjoyed. You know, at first it was like, oh, I'm saved, and I have this huge, like, overwhelming excitement and energy. But what I've learned over time is every day is a new day, and every day is a new journey, and every day is a new piece to that journey. It's not just, hey, you're saved and you're a follower of Christ and now you just go do your thing. It's like, man, he continues to remind me each and every day and put people in my life each and every day that remind me that he's there. And it's been an amazing journey. He's brought people like yourselves in my life that I thank him for all the time. And I get excited about what's next instead of trying to figure it out or worried about it. I'm excited about it. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's amazing. I love that. You could have written Psalm 40. So our, I don't know if you know this, but Table 40, the podcast, like my favorite passage of scripture is Psalm 40. And it's actually a lot like your story. And so David writes it and he says like, where I pulled you out of the pit of destruction and set you on a firm foundation and then gave you a new song to sing. And I see that, like, there's that prayer of desperation, like, man, Lord, I need you, like, ASAP, right now. And God was faithful to rescue you from that situation that you were in and put you on a firm foundation. And then right now, a couple years later, it's pretty obvious that he's given you this new song to sing that you can share the gospel with other people and share your story and your life. And it's really cool to see that, because what's fun about having friends that we've journeyed with for a really long time is it's like seeing somebody's kids that you haven't seen in a long time, and they're like, they grow up so much, and you're like, what happened? And it's really cool to see, because we were with you when you very first started this journey with the Lord, and like to see you now, it's really neat, and you just seem so at peace. So it's really fun for me.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and it's a lot of fun, and what you say is true. Like, you know, like, I, and again, I thank him all the time. It's like I was rescued. And then he continues to each day, although, you know, it's not like, as you know, every day is perfect. It's not like you wake up and it's like, this is the greatest day ever. And it's like everything's sunshine and rainbows. There's days that you're still working through and still struggling through, but to know that you have wonderful people that, God has put in your life. I was just talking with my wife's dad the other day, and it's like, you can still see it. I just came down here to Texas, and all of a sudden within the first couple of weeks, he put somebody else in my life. And it's a 60-year-old man that is a follower that is just super cool and really nice. And now I played golf with him a few times, and you just see these people. He put my wife, who I just got married a couple of weeks ago. And she was a big believer in Jesus and a follower in her family. I mean, she just pours into me, and it's just the whole deal. It's like nonstop each and every day. You see these things that are really neat.
Thanks for tuning in again this week for Table 40. We hope you enjoyed this clip from 2020 with former St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Chris Carpenter. He just has such a remarkable story. Definitely want to encourage you to listen to the rest of that conversation to hear even more from Chris and his testimony and how he came to faith in Jesus Christ. Table 40 is part of the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network, which means we have other shows on our network that we'd love for you to check out if you aren't already listening to them regularly. But certainly our flagship show, Sports Spectrum, hosted by Jason Romano, Get in the Game with former Major League reliever Scott Linebrink, and Inside the Chapel with professional sports chaplains Reza Zadeh and Icky Soma. All of those shows can be streamed anywhere you get podcasts, but you can also find links to all of that right there on our website, sportspectrum.com. We've got tons of articles on athletes and coaches, as well as devotionals, and certainly a link to our magazine and our newsletter. So if you want our free newsletter sent to your inbox, this will have devotionals and links to articles in there as well. Go to sportspectrum.com, just drop your email in there, and you'll get those sent directly to your inbox. Thanks again for checking out Table 40. You can find Sports Spectrum on social media as well, sports_spectrum on Twitter and Sports Spectrum on Instagram. We'd love for you to give us a follow there, and we'd love for you to check out our website, sportspectrum.com. Again, all of that, articles, podcasts, devotionals, magazine, you name it, can be found right there at sportspectrum.com.